Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And really, we had some basketball last night to talk about. I mean, not game wasn't great, not a great game. Couple of games. Actually, Atlanta was a pretty good basketball game. They were way down, and they came back to win. But the biggest stories from yesterday, to tell you the truth, come from the leagues. Let's start with basketball because we're in the middle of basketball. What about now these unnatural jump shots that guys are taking that are no longer going to be fouls?
Oh, what they did 2 years ago, you mean?
Yeah, well,
you know they've done this already.
They don't enforce.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, they're acting like this is new. What's new about this exactly? They put this into play, all these James... Really, frankly, it was kind of the James Harden rules.
Uh-huh.
How are these rules brand new?
Well, they're new because they used to just stop... Well, in the last couple of years, they just stopped giving you shooting fouls. Now they're just going to remove the foul, period. Because when James would swing his arm to get you to slap his arm, then go up, they would just give him free throws for that. Now... You don't even get the foul for
but
it.
But they didn't have to call that a foul in the first place.
Well, they did.
And yeah, but the league didn't mandate they do. Like,
no, they. Well, if they were saying contact, you made contact, we're just not going to give you a shooting foul because it's obvious he wasn't in the shooting motion.
Right.
Now, it's unnatural, so we're not even going to give you the foul for it.
Here's what I don't understand, though. By the letter of the law, if you create the contact, it can technically, you know, obviously it's up for interpretation. In different times, you're creating a contact on a natural move to the basket or whatever, and that's not going to be a foul. But if you're creating a contact and you're, you know, they say that it's that cone. You're not supposed to get inside the cone. The shoulders down to the toes and straight vertical. That's your principle of verticality. And it goes for defenders and offensive players. If you're outside of that, and it is unnatural, this should have been the easiest. When they addressed this, I'm saying 2 years ago. It was really, I think, 4 years ago. When they addressed that, this should have been a done deal. It's enforcement. And we'll start talking about what Major League Baseball is going to supposedly do as well. But, you know, the one thing that is standard across all leagues, John, is a lack of enforcement.
Yeah.
When they had, when NFL has to say, okay, we're going to have a point of emphasis. You know what a point of emphasis means? We've got something on the books, and we haven't been calling it ever.
Well, that happens
for years.
In the NFL all the time.
Yeah.
This year, we're going to look at
and then
holding.
They go crazy.
This year, we're going to look at interference.
The point of emphasis thing is where they have to, you know, basically they have to call their own fouls that are on the books. And now in basketball, this is just to me, this is a point of emphasis. I know it's much needed, by the way.
We've had refs on, and I think KJ can listen. I guess he could tell us. But I think... If you have your arm out playing defense, that's not a lawful way to play defense. So if you have your arm extended out,
tell it to the 90s.
If you have your I'm just saying, if you have your arm extended out and a guy raises his arm, you are actually committing a foul because your arm shouldn't be there. But now, since if you make an unnatural movement that way to create the contact with the arm extended, then they're not going to call the foul anymore.
Right.
But that's not a legal guarding position, having your arm out. Stretch like that.
Well, and it's a lot of it is we've seen James. We watched James do this for how long? This is aimed at James and Trey Young, and maybe Luka too. But this is it's clearly for these guys. I mean, Trey Young was third.
You're playing
most,
outside the system.
Using the system, finessing the game is what they're doing.
Yeah.
So. And it's a lot of it is unnatural, moving back in, while you're shooting into a defender. And quite frankly, you're getting into his space. This is the way that it should be. And Keyshawn on the show, which It never fails. He never, ever, I don't think, fails to piss me off about something. But he says, well, listen, if I'm a receiver and I'm running down the field, I'm taught to stop if a ball is underthrown and draw that contact from the defensive back. And you know what happens? Penalty, interference. And you know what needs to be legislated next? That you should not get credit because you threw a crappy pass. You should not be credited 20, 30, 40 yards, whatever it is, because the defender did a nice job, is on your hip, and you stop and run back into him because your quarterback can't throw the ball. Phillip Rivers, how many times, whatever quarterback, you throw a crappy pass and you draw a foul?
So you know exactly. So you know how long ago, I think in the NFL it happens a lot. There's certain players that have made, I mean, listen, James is a cottage industry for James. James could get to the free throw line 14 times and seven or eight of these. I mean, there's a reason he's the all-time leader in four-point plays, and it's not even close. But remember, they had to, at one point, you remember years ago, they had to define an intentional spike that wasn't intentional grounding, that you could just spike the football. That wasn't always the case in football where you could spike the football. And remember the Supreme Court ruling when the justice says that I know it when I see it, talking about porn
porn.
You know, whatever the case may be. That's the same thing with basketball. What Dell's talking about, yes, that's not necessarily, I would argue that that is a natural defensive position, although as long as you're not touching anybody, it's not a foul. It's when there's a creation of contact. But if that creation of contact happens in an unnatural way, define unnatural, I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah.
Like we all know when it's bullcrap. We all can call bullcrap on, wait a minute. Even people who play on the playgrounds can say, that's not, because that would start fights. If you did that, put it this way. James, Luka, Trae Young, the guys who really benefit from that. If they did that same move on a playground, the ball would get held up and they would, and they'd say, check it. And they'd say, ball, foul, whatever. And they'd say, no, we're not giving that to you.
No.
And there would be a big fight on the court because you'd say, I'm not giving that to you. That's not, no. What you did is outside the spirit of the game. And in a pickup game, they would definitely verbal altercations, where a game would be held up. I've been in games that have been held up 30 minutes over nonsense. And in fact, I stopped playing at the YMCA because there was this one guy who was that guy. But the games would get held up because they know, what? No, this isn't a real foul. That's what would happen. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, if that doesn't even pass the smell test in a pickup game, that should not be going on in the NBA. And they're trying to game that. Just like you said, it is finessing the game or gaming the system is what it is. So good for the NBA for saying they're going to do that. But let's see if they actually do that. Like, just the same thing with flops. The NBA said they were going to take flops. And flops have gotten better. I will say that. Flops have definitely gotten better. Yeah. Without question. It's just kind of quietly gotten better.
It's a better game because they addressed it and said,
well, they keep playing through. You know, they don't try to just flop everything out.
Right.
And they did address it. They weren't hardcore against it, but I have noticed that flops, you know, as I'm just talking, I'm thinking, you know, I don't see that many flops anymore. Not like I used to see.
You're right. You don't. And it's a good thing that we don't see it anymore. And it became a point of emphasis. Like, this is becoming a point of emphasis. You can't do it. It's terrible basketball. It's awful. And you know what? James and Trae Young are both going, mother, do you know how many free throws that I get because of that? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many free throws and how much money I've made off of that? And you people are taking it away? Uh-uh. We ain't putting up with this crap. We're not doing it. And now the games last night. What about Atlanta being way down and coming and able to come back? Now, Embiid 0 for 12 in the second half. And his knee is balky.
Yeah.
If you've got...
Well, was
are
beforehand.
You a little nervous if you're Philly now with this?
100%, because this is where Embiid starts to crater. And he's got an excuse right now, the knee, but he was 0 for 12 in the second half. This guy who's been going completely off, the whole thing cannot be the knee. Like, unless there was something and I know he did kind of re-aggravate it, but if Embiid loses his confidence, the 76ers are in some potential trouble if Trae Young can really get going.
Is he
going
to go 4 for 20 again? I mean, they lost by 3 points, and he was 4 for 20. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was 0 for 12. If he's saying it's 0 for 12 because of the knee, then what's to say that knee that has already been an issue won't be an issue moving forward? I've never seen a playoff like... We're in the midst of a playoffs where this series, there's an outside chance, not even outside chance, there's a chance that a series involving one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference could be decided because the best player in the series has an injury that he's trying to play through. It's possible that LA lost simply because one of the best players in the series had an injury he tried to play through, and it had shelved him for a while. You've got Kyrie Irving and James Harden. They're both out for game five right now. Do you remember
Joel Embiid? Joel Embiid. You lost Jamal Murray with your Denver.
Yeah. Jamal Murray. I mean, how many – I don't ever remember a playoffs where this many major players who could have an impact on series have been
hurt.
Well,
Dell has said the Suns win and there's going to be – you know, everybody's going to be saying, well, you were able to get through without Anthony Davis. And they didn't have Jamal Murray. Who cares? You win the title, you win the title. If those guys aren't there, that's on them.
It's not a real thing for the Suns. It's just a discourse that will occur. No asterisk talk will be. It won't be a thing, but it'll be a discourse when you start to look at who won the title. The Lakers caught it for the bubble, or the Heat caught it for getting to the finals in the bubble. It'll just be a discourse. Who knows how deep it'll go? But yeah, everyone will start to pick apart things if it continues. Like if the Suns make the conference finals, or if they make a finals and another player gets hurt, it just happens. That's what the discourse. But it doesn't matter. The Suns, if they win, they'll take their title and run because they never won one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Paul George is maybe making you eat your words.
Ooh, how so?
What were you calling playoff D?
No, playoff D.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's funny when people use the term
pandemic.
It's funny. I don't have any hate for Paul George. I think it's funny when people use things like Trash Brothers and Pandemic P for NBA players. It's funny. I don't care one way or the other.
Oh, no. You were calling him playoff D.
No. Why would I call him playoff D?
I don't know why.
It doesn't.
Playoff week D you were calling him.
That's Eric Wong.
Oh, that's Eric Wong.
Yes.
That's right. I'm sorry. I was mistaken. Paul George and Eric Wong.
Well, they both like
31. Strippers. Back-to-back 30-point games.
Now, keep in mind, though, the Jazz are 31-5 at home. They had leads of 29 and 28 in the two games at home against the Clippers. So they are a home team. Like Utah is a home team. That's what they do. The interesting thing is going to be once these two teams slug it out, like the Suns have been chilling. They're only through game four.
Is that a great thing, though?
I think at this point of the year, I think it is a pretty good thing. I think anytime you can get some rest and not have fatigued legs, it's a good thing. Although, I mean, yeah, it is accurate that the Suns are so red hot, they probably didn't want to take a break, and they are going to have a long break. The Suns have five straight games where they've been ahead by 20 points against their opponents. And I think that's the only time in NBA history that's happened. That's incredible that they've been this hot and are they kind of like the Tampa Bay Rays last year? You just kind of come out of nowhere and I don't want to say the Rays were out of nowhere, because they were a factor. You know, they had been a factor in 18 against the Astros, but in a way, they kind of came out of nowhere to be that competitive.
Well, who thought that the Suns were going to have the second best record?
No,
but
they weren't even a playoff team.
Yeah. Well, but they were red hot. Remember at the bubble, they were 8-0.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, if you go back to the bubble.
Yep.
You go back to the bubble and you move forward, that has been a red hot team.
Yep. 713 ESPN 97.5. Now, we have got.
We did one league.
That's one league. Now we got another league that is saying, you ain't pulling this anymore.
You got one league that stands strongly against cheating.
It's yes.
They always have.
Always will.
And they're going to bang the
gavel. As long as it's the Astros cheating, they're going to
You'll find out how
tell.
Major League Baseball is banging the gavel against cheating. That's coming
right.
up next.
And we'll do that next. But right now what we're doing is we're talking about Chastang Ford. Those are my peeps over at Chastang Ford. If you haven't seen the new F-150, the 2021, it is the best truck that I've ever been in. I was able to drive one weekend, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And I've got the Expedition. My son's got an F-150, and it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But this is a different kind of deal, people. I mean, you want to talk about everything loaded, beautiful, and you can get it right now at Chastang Ford in stock right now, what you're looking for. But here's the deal, is I would suggest, and Patrick told me this, he said, tell everybody to order them. Put your order in, get exactly what you want, because all the specifics of the different packages might have something, well, I don't really need that, or I really don't want that. You can customize your own F-150 right now and get it. If you've got some time that you've got plenty of time that you don't need to have a new car right now, you put in the custom order and they send it to you, and you're going to be completely satisfied and get it all at the price that you want, and no dealer add-ons. I promise, no dealer add-ons. That's what's happening every day at Chastain Ford at ChastainFord.com, or you can get over there to the dealership. It's clean. It's beautiful. You're going to love it. Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's tough to lose, you know, great players, but we've lost guys all season. So if there's any silver lining, it's that we've continued to win games this year regardless of who's been available. We've been able to adapt on the fly, which is difficult to do sometimes. But for us, that's something we've have some experience with, and we should have some comfort and belief that no matter who plays, we can still perform and play well and be very difficult to beat. So I'm excited for our guys. Great opportunity, no matter who plays, to play in a really big playoff game at home and improve from the last game.
That was Steve Nash. He is going to be without Kyrie and James Harden at home for game 5 in a 2-2 series. Who do you like? It's a tough series, man.
Man, I just... You mean who would I like in the final three just to finish it? You know, they are so... James's hammy must really be bad. They must know that he's going to re-aggravate it. And I think there's a chance he re-aggravates it no matter what anyway. Bucks are a little hot. Middleton's got his flow back. They were a lot better last game. Defensively, we just see offensively... This is a different Nets team, and the Bucks have locked them down the last two. I kind of like the Bucks. I'm trying to think KD and the squad he has with Joe Harris. I think if Giannis and Chris Middleton are playing to the level of a good Kawhi and Paul George, because I think there is some similarities in terms of what your expectations are going to be production wise. It's gonna be tough for Durant to win this thing by himself. I mean, when you build a super team, a big three, a lot of times we saw with the Heat. I mean, you got to have certain veterans come over who are willing to play for a lot less, or you're just not gonna have a lot of your role players are not gonna be as good when you can't disperse the money more equally. You're gonna suffer your bench, and you're gonna suffer from a depth standpoint. And I'm just not sure that. I'd like to know what the numbers. The Nets should, you know, are the Nets going to pack out the place?
So,
from a ticket standpoint,
guess what the number is? Bucks Nets.
I would say it's
tonight.
Bucks 1.5.
It is Bucks 5.
Ooh man, Bucks 5. That's worth Kyrie. So you know what's funny is the Bucks were 4.5 at home in Game 3. They won, and it immediately flipped to the Nets were a small favorite against the Bucks. In that series, it's almost, which I'm not sure why, but probably because the Bucks won, but won extraordinarily ugly in Game 3. So it flipped to the Nets were the favorite in Game 4, a small favorite, like 1.5. Now Kyrie is out. What we're saying is Kyrie is basically worth about 4 points, 4.5 points, maybe 5 points. That's probably fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably fair. I still think the play from a value standpoint is playing the Nets. Just money line Nets in that case, if they're a 1.5. You wait, how much? 5.5?
Five.
No, take the points. Don't play money. Well, or play money line.
Money
try
line.
To hit the Nets big.
Yeah.
They're probably like
195.
Double. Try to double your money with the Nets at home. Kevin Durant.
No. It was I'm back on. Here's live betting. Let's see. NBA, it is, if you're taking, it's plus 165.
Yeah.
Plus 165.
Why not? Take the Nets to win plus 165.
Championship odds, guess who's the favorite right now?
Don't tell me Suns.
The Bucks. Bucks are plus 300.
So yesterday.
The Nets are plus 350. Jazz plus 400.
What side is that? Because yesterday it
and
was.
No, Suns plus 400 as well. The Suns and Jazz are now both plus 400. The Bucks are the favorite.
Well, the big news yesterday was the Nets are still the favorite to win the championship, but the Bucks are now the favorite of the series. And Josh Burton had that. I can't remember what he sent it to us, a public relations from a gambling.
Well, I don't right know now was, on my bookie, the Bucks are the
so
favorite.
It's my bookie, yeah. I don't agree with. I don't see how you can make the Nets. That didn't make sense to me. The Nets being the favorite still didn't make a lot of sense because James is going to, if and when he comes back, you know, there is a chance. How is that going to look for James's? You want to talk about James's legacy? Maybe we do it in a sec. We'll do it here in just a second.
Yeah.
In the next break, we'll talk about that. But the Nets, if they go meekly into that good night with injuries to two of their big three happening in the playoffs, I mean, does it matter that it taints it a little bit for the Bucks to get through that way?
No. They don't give a rat's ass. Taints it? Pshaw. Okay, you couldn't stay healthy? That's on you. Kevin Durant, you got hurt? Oh, well. Cleveland won. Sorry.
Could just be karma, though.
Yep. Yep.
Could just be karma for James doing a fat suit trick.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Take that, James. Major League Baseball is going to announce today, it looks like, it will suspend players caught with any foreign substance for 10 days. With pay to help curtail the widespread use of grip enhancers by pitchers around the league. The league is expected to distribute a memo to teams, they've already been briefed, that outlines its plan to penalize all players caught by umpires with any foreign substance on their person, from the widely used sunscreen and rosin combination to spider tack. Now, it is thought that spider tack is over the line. It's like trash can banging. It's over the line. You're a bad person. You're a bad human being, and you should never play baseball again.
I think this is an interesting. This is an interesting paragraph. This is Jeff Passan who wrote this, and we know he has been pretty sanctimonious, but he just hated the Astros organization, and he hated the inside of it. Because I think more than likely, I think some baseball media people didn't like the way that the Astros maybe treated the media. Something like that is my guess. He says, however significant players' reliance on sticky stuff has become, and regardless of how responsible teams and the league were for enabling another cheating scandal. So at least he calls it cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least Passan calls it a cheating scandal to burrow its way back into baseball. The efforts to rid the game of grip enhancers have arrived and will begin in earnest June 21st, sources said. So at least he calls it cheating, and at least he acknowledges the league and the teams are culpable for this.
Yep.
Like, they are culpable for this, and this is indeed cheating. So call it cheating. When it's cheating, call it cheating. But he goes on to say a lot more about
until this, then, players will continue trying to unlearn years of using various substances. Some teams already have asked pitchers who relied heavily on foreign substances to throw bullpen sessions without any grip enhancers to prepare for the future.
Can you imagine being suspended with pay? That's going to hurt. You're going to have to take amounts to a paid vacation.
Yes.
I mean,
it's going to kill you.
I would be out there. If I'm on a bad team, I'm going to go out there with my hand is just
goop,
black and brown, and my first pitch is going to fall halfway between the mat because it's just loaded up. They're
you're not going to be able to. The ball won't be able to come out of your hand.
I know. Like, so,
hey, get this off me.
You're suspended 10 games with pay. Sounds like a vacation. You're saying I can't be at the facility either, right?
Right.
Nope. You sure can't.
1, 2, 3, Cancun.
Man, I can't believe I got suspended for 10 games.
This has been something. Now, even the league looked into some kind of substance that the guys could actually use, as opposed to, I mean, you were right before the show, you're like, guys don't even know how to throw a baseball anymore without something on it? Without anything? You can't throw, are you kidding me? That they can't throw a baseball anymore without any kind of a grip enhancer? What they want is a better grip. What baseball says that they were looking into, and they have been looking into it, is a better grip on the baseball without enhancing performance.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know how you can, there would be nothing. If you're putting a foreign substance on, no matter what that foreign substance is, it will enhance the performance.
It is amazing, though, that, well, players need, the players are trying to buy time to,
they've got until June 21st.
They're trying to buy time to get used to not throwing. All I can think of was, how long have you been doing this? Like, you don't know how to throw a curveball anymore without some kind of stuff on your hand? Like, really? This is the very definition of performance mm-hmm. enhancing. You can't even throw a curveball because you've been doing this for this long. That's the definition of performance enhancing. You have no way of doing something unless you use a foreign substance. Literally case closed. So Major League Baseball tried to normalize it. And you know, the Players Association is going to obviously, they're going to go along.
Well, they've already said. Here's what the Players Association. The Players Association is aware that Major League Baseball plans to issue guidance shortly regarding the enforcement of existing rules governing foreign substances. We will communicate with players accordingly once that guidance has been issued. We anticipate future discussions with the league regarding on-field issues, including the foreign substance rules and the baseballs themselves, as part of our ongoing collective bargaining. Our continued focus will remain on fundamental fairness and player health and safety. Because we're good. Well, I put that last part in. Stop. Everything has got to be collectively. No, it's a rule. They're breaking it. The league is going to enforce a rule that was already collectively bargained. It's in the rule book. There is no discussion. I hate the Players Association. I just do. We are going. The Players Association had to get their 2 cents. We are communicating, ongoing communication with the league. As this is collectively barked. No, it's a rule. Your guys are breaking it, and they need to stop. That's it. How will this affect our team? How does this affect our team when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5?
You mean the good guys?
The good guys. Now, how are the good guys affected by this? 713-780-3776 if you've got some thoughts.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. Yesterday on TNT, the guys were talking about, it came up that Charles Barkley has a wallet.
Yeah.
And he said, and Ernie basically said, are you like the only person in the world who still carries a wallet? He brought that up. This is my wallet is as you see it. It's not a standard wallet. I've got it specifically because you can put your credit cards in and you click a little button and they all pop up and you can take them out that way. Okay, so you've gone same
direction.
This goes on.
This actually applies to the back of your phone.
Yeah,
you can apply it, but I don't do that.
I don't. Has something like that. Well, I've got a case on it, but
I just keep those kind of my the credit same cards way. In there this in is, my in my Prime, so it's right
I've
there.
Been
doing anytime
that for
I go
a
to Prime,
few years now, and one of them that I bought it broke, so
put
I got
your
this
key card
one.
In there.
I and did just my key card's behind my driver's license.
Yeah.
So the rest of
so
this,
so that you
has,
don't forget it every day.
You know, I can put whatever
Del
I want.
Has to go down and see you.
Yeah. No, it's in
and
there. It's in
them
there.
Off.
But
right, Del. Yeah. Okay. So am I looking out for you or not?
I don't particularly care if you are. I just want to point out it's one of the worst parts of my day.
Do you keep cash in there, too?
No, I keep cash in my pocket.
Me, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I don't.
Well, why,
there's a thing I can put in here, but I don't.
Why, does Charles put cash in his wallet? I don't know anyone that has cash
you
in their wallet.
You know the big fold wallet?
Yeah.
Like that big-ass thing? I've probably thought this for 20 years or more. For what? For who? I haven't had a wallet like that. That never made sense to
me. So I would think that Charles has too much cash to put in a wallet.
He runs around with cash?
Yeah, because he tips.
He's old school.
He likes to tip.
Well, you know, you can pay cashless and still tip.
No. I know, but even...
Tip for just walking around the neighborhood? Just like, Thank you, my good man, for being here.
There's a hunter.
Yeah, there we go. You can't just tip people randomly. You got to be doing something. You can't just go to gallery and like, oh, I didn't know you were going to be here at the door making sure people didn't get into Louis Vuitton more than 10 at a time. Here's a 50.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
That's not doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, when Lima used to show up at Wildcat, the D-Wig is standing out there. He goes, Lima would drive up and
Lima would have been on a documentary called Broke.
Yeah, he probably would have. He gives you a 100. He just gives you a 100 as soon as, hey, man, take care of my car. And sure enough, oh, and then he goes into the bar and he's getting drinks. Here's 100.
Yeah, that's not smart, though.
No, well, no, I
don't
know.
That's really not smart with
money. If you've got millions and millions of dollars,
hey, you know who hates that idea? He didn't have millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, he did.
Lima didn't get paid like that. And remember, we've already done the math before. You can go back and look at it.
He had a $20 million contract.
Let's take for over how many years?
Three, I think. He did a 3-year
with the
21.
Astros?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, take it in half. Cut it in half.
Yeah.
And now, give the agent his fee. And then, you start doing
Stop.
All that stuff. Like, it's not $20 million. You know who wishes you know who likes when you don't do that stuff? Your kids.
Screw your kids. What? They ain't getting all that. You know what? I'm giving it to D-Wig. That's what I'm doing.
No, D-Wig doesn't need it.
Yeah,
your kids are like, hey.
Oh, you kidding? You don't know D-Wig and what D-Wig's needs are?
No, but
D-Wig's saying, shut up, Lance.
So I don't want to eat the whole segment up.
Stay out of my pocket,
thing.
Lance.
But no, I'm not a, I don't carry much cash around.
Yeah, I like cash. I like to carry cash.
It's good to have cash, but I just don't carry much around.
How much did Lima make in his career? I can't find it. Anyway, Baseball Reference. Doesn't Baseball Reference tell you what career earnings are?
I thought they did at the bottom, but maybe not.
Anyway, here it is. He made $24 million.
How many years?
Over.
He had a $20 million deal?
10 years. 11, 12 years.
Yeah, not a huge amount.
No. $24 million?
No, I didn't say it's not
$24 million.
Over 12 years, that's not really much for a baseball player.
Well, it was that.
Not
don't
for a
forget,
guy
that
who
was from 94 to 2005.
Pitched in a World Series. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He didn't make as much
money. So, anyway, what about our team now? So
how is our team affected by this? We got rid of the cheater, Gerrit Cole.
Well, Gerrit, obviously, it would have been a big issue, Gerrit Cole. The Yankees and Gerrit Cole is going to, because he's the face of this thing, too, now, by the way. So, Gerrit Cole is going to be watched very closely to make sure that Gerrit Cole, and now apparently even in the last game he came up, and remember he struck out Josh Donaldson, he was just throwing 98. He said, okay, screw you, forget spin rate and sliders and all of that stuff, I'm just going to throw 98 and I'm going to be just fine. And you know what, he was just fine. Our guys, I wonder how much Lance McCullers depends on it. I mean, he's got a lot of spin rate on
him. He's a big spin rate breaking pitch guy. And he also is one of these guys, I get the feeling that Lance McCullers is a guy, just in talking to him over the years, I don't know this for a fact, but he's one of those guys who says, look, there's a difference between grip on a baseball and full-scale cheating. Because there are some baseball players who believe that. I don't know. That's going to be interesting to see. Because I think he has had some juju on the hat before. I'm pretty sure I've seen Lance McCullers has kind of a messy.
What about
hat.
Fromber? I'm worried about.
I don't know.
I'm worried about Fromber.
Elegancho,
Fromber has
know.
Come on mightily, and I'm hopefully it's not because of that. Hopefully, listen, what Fromber has gotten is a lot more accurate. Pinpoint accuracy that he hits corners, keeps the ball low,
and that's just ability,
right?
Pinpoint accurate. Spin rate's different than just he's extraordinarily accurate up vertically and horizontally on the plate.
Yeah.
That's just skill.
So hopefully that doesn't affect him at all. What's Greinke? I don't know. Urquidy? I don't know. You know, we don't know on any of these guys, but if we start to see a noticeable difference in their performances and their abilities to. You know, we've already seen a big dip in spin rates on guys. We've seen a big dip on spin rates.
So I'm trying to see.
Do you think this creates more offense?
Well, that's the hope for Major League Baseball, is it normalizes the offense.
Right, because it is the worst ever. This year, baseball is at its worst ever as far as average goes. It's unbelievable how bad
But it also is.
is
guys,
a philosophy.
Guys try
approach.
To hit.
It's approach.
Yeah, it's approach has led to more strikeouts.
Right.
They're willing to do that.
Now. So
people don't try to just go with the ball and slap it the other way. They're looking to yank the thing out of the park.
Yep.
I just Googled Lance McCullers cap because if somebody, like, it would definitely show up on Google Images if somebody saw him with something on his cap. Oh, that's hitting a website or a video.
Yeah.
And no one has done anything with Lance McCullers.
I'm wondering how Kershaw, let's see how good Kershaw is now, that cheater. Let's see how much he's been criticizing, and they all been criticizing the Astros. And let's see how that cheater goes about it now that giant black stain isn't going to be on the back of his cap anymore. Let's see how that cheater does. So McCullers starts tonight against Gibson, 2-game series against Texas. He is going to be matched up tonight with Odorizzi, apparently. Apparently, we'll see. Maybe there's a pitch count on McCullers, and the rumor is that Odorizzi is the next guy, and he'll come in with McCullers. Now, hopefully, McCullers can go long. His pitch count is low, and he's able to throw 7 innings.
Yeah.
Then we'll see. You know, Odorizzi is going to be ready, but maybe Odorizzi can be pushed back because tomorrow is Greinke, then Urquidy, then Luis Garcia, then Fromber, then McCullers again on Sunday against the White Sox. And Odorizzi is scheduled to pitch June 21st against Baltimore. You know what this is? It's a 6-man rotation. Now, if this is accurate, if this is what it's on ESPN, the Astros schedule, and it says McCullers, Greinke, Urquidy, Garcia, Valdez, McCullers, Odorizzi. That'll be interesting in that maybe when you have days off like they do today, then you can skip a guy and match him up, but then go back to the 6-day rotation. They have got a stretch here. They have got a stretch here where they don't have another day off until Monday, July 5th. The most that you can have is 20 straight days without a day off. And I believe they're hitting that here. So they had a day off yesterday. 1, 2, 3. I'm not going to count on the air. But they don't have another day off until July 5th. So maybe this is the way they're going to go about it, the 6-man rotation.
Well, let's see. I'm gonna gamble it's not the way they do it because I think they're going to recognize there's just simply more value in having a second pitcher able to go the second half of a start like they're going to do tonight. It's just too valuable relative to having a 6-man rotation with Dookie relievers. And I talked about this with Fred and AJ yesterday. They talked about
this
it a lot.
20 straight.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me for you to take your starters and have less Fromber and potentially more bullpen. You're not going to skip anybody in a rotation at any point with a 6-man rotation. You're going to play it out. So we'll get less Fromber Valdez, one of the best pitchers in the American League. But we could potentially see a little more of our friends in the bullpen. Huh, that sounds anti-analytical. You really want to know the truth. That sounds the exact opposite of analytics, which is a reliance upon past occurrences and historical data to set up your decision-making in the future. Doesn't make any sense. You're going to ask the bullpen to pitch more if you do that. Where if you have one of those pitchers like Odorizzi, obviously Christian Javier are still there. If you have Odorizzi in the pen, at least you got him being able to go an easy 2 and easy 3 innings, unless he sucks. But anything that limits Fromber's touches is stupid. It's not smart. And Luis Garcia, for that matter, frankly, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make analytical sense that you would take away. Analytics is all about, it's the Daryl Morey method. Give more touches to the best players.
Right.
You hit your leadoff man. Is a guy like George Springer because he has more at-bats with the ability to hit home runs. It makes no sense to say, let's give less starts to one of our best pitchers. That doesn't make sense to me. That's why I have a hard time buying into the 6-man rotation, is it works against the principles of analytics, which would be. Now, someone else would probably argue something about pitch count on younger arms or whatever the case may be, or innings on younger arms. I'm just here to tell you, the Astros are pretty damn firm on pitch counts. They don't let guys go past a certain number. So I'm not really worried about
it's
that.
Dangerous, too, if you get a couple of start with six-man rotation, because that takes one bullpen arm out. Because you only got, unless you are going to take a position player away and it's add another bullpen arm.
More real bullpen guys, which is no good.
If you go a couple of games with a six-man rotation and you get two, three innings out of your starter, you're going to get yourself into some trouble. Unless you take a position player away. And even then, you might it still could be trouble. Now, listen, when I was young, it was a four-man rotation. And it was, you know, you pitched every fifth day. Now you pitch, you pitched every fourth day. And now you pitch every fifth day. And you know what? And back then, it was like, five-man rotation? What is this, girl softball? It's a five. We go four-man rotation. And we go nine innings. That's what we do.
What is this, girl softball?
Right. So,
put a skirt on him.
But this might be the future. Six-man rotation might be the future.
What is this girl softball is weird. Only because doesn't girl softball, don't they like pitch two women?
Every game.
Yeah.
Actually, it's the opposite.
Tell me the advantage
of the exact opposite of girl softball.
You're going to have to sell me out. What's the advantage of a six-man rotation from a team standpoint? If you say it's going to be the future, like, there's got to be an advantage.
Why is a five-man rotation? Because more rest in between.
When you had the four to five, let's tell the whole story. When it went from four to five, that was also when there was a huge number of complete games. There was a huge number. Pitch counts in the 120 was no big deal back in the day. It really wasn't. We didn't have pitch counts.
No,
actually,
never knew.
Did you ever? There was no stat that said pitch count. No. I had no idea how many pitches a guy threw, ever. It was never on TV. It was never a thing. So that was also a major, major factor is they went deeper, they threw more pitches. So going four to five gave arms a little bit more rest. Five to six doesn't make sense. We already have pitch counts. They're already in tune with all that stuff.
More rest
Jacob
in between
DeGrom
starts.
Getting one less start.
No. That doesn't make any sense.
Why? But that's a six-man rotation. You're taking out a good pitcher. Six-man rotations make no sense for dominant pitchers.
Yeah.
None.
Well, neither did five-man rotations for dominant pitchers.
But there was arm fatigue. Right now, that can't be the argument.
Well, maybe these guys are feeling more fatigued every fifth day, and they want a sixth day.
Well, you are Mr. You know what I'm going to call you? Load Management Johnny.
That's me. LM Johnny.
Manage the loads.
LMJ. Oh, me and Lance McCullers Jr., same thing, only I'm Load Management Johnny. 745 ESPN 97.5. I'm going to tell you what else I am. I'm Hairy Johnny. That's right. Oh, wow. Yeah, because I got hair because of Doc Linville. That's right. I'm not Mangy Johnny anymore. That M, okay? Lots of mange, Johnny. LMJ. Well, guess what? Lot more hair is what I am. That's what I am because I got it on the top of my head because of Doc Linville. And Doc Linville says, well, we got the Morpheus 8, too. What that is a skin. It helps your skin, the collagen and everything else, just makes you look better. So you will get that free facial if you sign up now before Father's Day. This is a Father's Day special for you guys out there. Tell your wife, hey, I'm going to get you this procedure for your face while I get my hair. How's that? And it's that procedure for her face or your face is absolutely free. All you got to do is sign up at 975hair.com. You're going to love hair. You're going to love having hair on the top of your head. I do. I mean, got it slicked back. You can look like a boss. You can look like Pat Riley, the boss. If you go right now to 975hair.com, I'm telling you, the process is easy. You'll love it. It's sensational. You'll love Doc Linville as well. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 48 past the hour, 748, 49 now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Yeah, apparently that is accurate. They're going to do the six-man rotation for this 20-game stretch because they got 20 straight games that they have to play. That's the most you can have in Major League Baseball. So they're going to go with this six-man rotation for
don't
now
you need
and then
bullpen
see.
Help when you have a 20...
Yeah.
Isn't that... I'm failing to see. I just don't understand. I just don't understand. You're bad. I mean, you're really bad in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And you're asking the bullpen to do more now, and you're going to be stretched more thin. If one of these games or two of these games, God forbid, back-to-back games went extra innings. Oh, my God. You know, extended innings on a 20, that you're going to have nothing. You're going to have nobody to pitch. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I've just, once again, more Odorizzi and less Fromber's not my favorite thing I've ever heard of.
No. So, this homestand starts tonight, Texas, and then Chicago in until Sunday. Then they hit the road at Baltimore, at Detroit, then come back for Baltimore, and then go to Cleveland. And then right before the All-Star game, it's a six-game homestand with Oakland and the Yankees. Huh. That's going to be huge right before the All-Star break. That is going to be huge, and it's right here. So that'll be fun. That is going to be fun. A couple games. One of the games, the Saturday game on Fox. They got Cleveland on Fox, and they got Chicago on Fox. So the Astros are hitting Fox a lot on Saturdays. Three Saturday games before the All-Star break with the Astros in them, because it's a good baseball team and everybody loves our baseball team.
Yeah. No, everybody loves
them.
It's kind of America's team, honestly.
It really kind of is. It really, really, really kind of is. So there's actually a little bit of Deshaun news, Lance. Apparently, Nick Caserio.
Okay. So I read this article on Pro Football Talk. I still am not sure what they got out of this. I'm still not sure why there's even a headline. I'll let you read it out loud, and we'll see what exactly Mike Florio thought was new from this. Like, he said Nick Caserio may have let something leak, and I'm like, oh, he's pretty guarded. Nick Caserio may have accidentally said something. Huh. Well, this will be curious. Let's see what he says.
Yeah.
Let's see what he says. And then after I read the entire article, I'm like, no, that sounded like some of Nick Caserio's alphabet soup where he just says things over and over and over.
We are taking it one day at a time and really control the things we can control.
This is Nick Caserio.
This is Nick Caserio.
Okay.
The players have been focused on their attitude and their approach in the building, and they've handled everything very well. I don't have any additional comments about anything. I think we're respectful of what's happening, respectful of the process, and everybody that's involved. The most important thing is for all of us, the coaches and players, and myself included, is to focus on the things we can control. As we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, we'll try to make the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails.
Okay. So, Nick, so read the sentence before. Mike Florio says he may have let something slip. That's his quote.
We're taking it one day at a time and really control the things we control.
Okay.
No.
Anything?
The players have been focused. No. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any additional comments. Is that new? Mm-hmm. Mm. I think we're respectful of what's happening, respectful of the process and everybody that's involved.
Sounds.
The most important thing is for all of us, the coaches and players included, is to focus on the things we can control.
Okay.
As we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, we'll try to make the best decision for the Houston Texans.
Closer to training camp?
No. Maybe it's making a decision.
He said, because
he hasn't even
That's it. The time. So he may have accidentally put a timeline on it.
No, that they're actually going to make a decision.
Okay, about
that there is a decision to be made, whether or not they're going to allow, whether or not they're going to trade Deshaun, whether or not they're going to have him just sit and pay him, whether or not they're going to. Well, they're going to have to fine him. If he doesn't show up, that's other control.
Well, number one, Deshaun Watson is not going to be a Texan. You don't have to decide anything. He's not going to show up.
Well, no. But that is something, because they've never said Deshaun Watson is not going to be a Texan. They've never said that.
No, and they still aren't.
No, they still haven't said it. But that an actual decision is going to be made is the new news, I guess.
That doesn't sound like much. Sounds like more of the same to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like, what can we do to milk this Deshaun thing for a new article? That's what it sounds like. And no offense, Mike. Everybody does it. We've done it here with sports map videos. Like, what angle can we take on the Deshaun story? There is nothing. And now it's dried up from a It's dried up from a legal standpoint. We're near hearing nothing, which frankly is great. I'm fatigued on that stuff. Nothing good was ever happening. I never came into work saying, you know what, we got some kind of good, some good news on Deshaun.
Well, and it's amazing.
When's the last time you said good news on Deshaun?
Yeah. The good news is that we're not hearing anything, if you want to know the truth. The Aaron Rodgers saga is every day. I can't even imagine what it's like in Green Bay every day, over and over. This morning, they did a tease. What is a team going to do about replacing a future Hall of Fame quarterback? Well, who do you think of immediately?
Well, maybe I'm jaded. I'm thinking Breeze.
Yeah, that was what that was. I thought immediately Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Because of the news cycle. Well, it's because when I was listening, they said for once it's not Aaron Rodgers. So I was kind of listening to it. And
yeah, but I mean, before they said that.
You might have, if I hadn't heard the Breeze, if they didn't lead with Winston and Taysom taking over for Breeze, I probably would have thought, oh, a news cycle. They're immediately jamming another Aaron Rodgers story. Although, I'll say this. If you're keeping up with the Green Bay saga, Mark Murphy, who is really in charge of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, he's the president.
Mark Murphy, I mean, it almost sounds like Mark Murphy is starting to throw some dirt on Aaron Rodgers. If I didn't know better, I would think Mark Murphy is almost paving the way for Aaron Rodgers to be moved.
Well, when he says Ted Thompson said he's a complicated fella.
And Aaron is a bit of a diva when it comes to people making comments about him. He's a note taker also.
Oh, yeah.
The same way Jordan is, the same way we talk about in basketball.
You know, Chris Paul? Times is Aaron Rodgers going to say, well, I'm complicated?
Just like smarmy, like smiling, it's a joke. Oh, hey, yeah.
No. Whatever new team, or if he goes back, Aaron, what are you doing back? Well, I'm complicated.
You know, you never know with me. I'm a complicated guy.
Yeah. No, he's going to. Are you kidding me? He's going to use that on Jeopardy. Anytime the word complicated comes up.
Are we going to do
you know,
this?
That's me.
Is this really going to be a Jeopardy? Did you watch any of him?
Yeah, I did.
Couldn't have been more bored. All right.
Are you excited about Jeopardy?
I don't get excited, but he didn't have any kind of energy. I'll put it this way.
He got better.
You don't want to follow Alex Trebek.
No. He's the guy. You don't want to follow the guy.
No.
You don't want to follow Jordan as Pete Myers. You don't want to follow that
Bear
guy.
Bear Bryant. You don't want to follow Nick Saban when he's
Nick
done.
Saban. You don't want to follow that guy Wood from all the memes.
It's unfortunate.
And you definitely don't want to follow.
No, I don't want to.
What are you doing?
No.
And then you definitely don't want to follow Aaron Rodgers. And you don't want to follow Alex Trebek, though.
Too bad Aaron Rodgers doesn't play baseball, because you know some intrepid organist or whoever runs this in-stadium entertainment will play that Avril Lavigne song for him, So Complicated, when he walks up.
Yeah.
I need him to show up in a opposing stadium so he can get trolled. I just need him to play. I don't care where he plays. You think he plays for Green Bay? You think he's their quarterback?
No.
Really? You think they trade him before the season?
I don't know. I think he sits this year.
I can't
by the way, it's over $35 million he loses.
I can't see him sitting and losing that.
It's $35 million.
I can't see Green Bay sitting there and doing nothing. I really can't. But at the same time, if you trade him, your window of opportunity is closed. You don't win. There's never been a better year right now. You got Tampa, who could be fat and sassy. You got another year older for Tom Brady. Really another year older for some aging players on Tampa. You got a team who just won a Super Bowl, who could easily go into the season more relaxed, and they'll definitely have a target on their back, the Tampa Bay Bucks. And you look around the division. I guess KC is better. I guess they got a rookie. I mean, not KC, but Chicago. They got a rookie quarterback. You go out east. Are you afraid of Dallas?
What
you
go west. They got Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you go out west, and you got. I guess the 49ers have Bosa back, but they also have Garoppolo back. I guess is Kyler Murray scaring you? Is Seattle scaring you right now? Maybe Matt Stafford and Rams. That's probably the team that you most watch out for. If you're Green Bay, this is another great chance for you. If you trade Aaron Rodgers away, then you're done. Your window's done. I'm telling you, you're not winning a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback.
But you may not have an option. Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up. He doesn't come.
Well, then let him sit out his 35. If that's the case, then that's the case. But you don't have to move him.
No.
But you might.
Then you will next offseason. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Well, when you know what the draft picks are going to be.
Right.
But I just think that it may behoove them to get their best value now. Because it's one thing for right now, people who would want to move Deshaun Watson, it's terrible timing to move him now. Even if things got cleared up, you're better off waiting until the draft rolls around. You know the draft positionings. With Aaron Rodgers, it's different because he has value because as an older quarterback, he still has a year coming up. If you lose an entire year, you now lose a year of value for Aaron Rodgers in a trade. So that might be one of the differences.
All right, let's see if you agree with the list. Top 10 quarterbacks in the league as we speak when we come back. But first, what about some Rockets tickets?
Well, Houston Rockets have a deal going on right now where they're trying to keep it 100. All you have to do is go to rockets.com. And this is a great deal they've got going on for you right now. You can pick, you get 10 tickets for $100. Now, how are you going to use that? It's going to be your choice. You can pair them up and do 5 games with 2 tickets apiece. Maybe you and a girlfriend will go all of those games. Maybe you want to pair it up and go 4-4-2, where you have family night, you know, in 2 of those games. There's 25 different games to choose from at home where you can use your tickets. But they've never done this before, and this is an awesome option for you to get into the doors of Toyota Center. And don't forget that you are going to get a free swingman jersey. They're going to throw that into your purchase if the Rockets get one of those top 4 picks. And right now, we're going to be waiting for that once the lottery rolls around. We're hoping the Rockets get one of the top 4 picks. And don't forget, this is supposed to be one of the best years that they've seen over the last 20 years for the top 5 picks of the draft. So hopefully the Rockets end up inside the top 4, and hopefully you have 10 tickets for just $100 to utilize during a 25-game stretch. For more information or to order while supplies last, go to rockets.com.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, sportsmapbets has all the info you need to make the best play. sportsmapbets.com.